Yes, we've done the first comprehensive health assessment of the lagoon, comparing what the condition is against the regulatory healthy targets that have been established by the state of Florida.
And it is the whole lagoon.
It covers the entire lagoon, all the way from New Smyrna up in Volusia County down to Stewart.
And you say that's 156 miles.
That's right.
Okay. And what have you found?
Well, we know already, anybody that's lived along the lagoon knows it's in very bad shape. So that was no surprise. The reason we did the report wasn't to tell everybody it's in bad shape. It was to establish a baseline so we would know how things were improving. So just when you're sick, you go to the doctor, and you know you're sick, but you go to the doctor, and the doctor takes your vital signs of health. So you know, is my blood pressure getting better? Is my cholesterol getting better? You go back to the doctor and you continue to get measured, if you're lucky, every year. You can go back and you find out if you're getting better or worse. So we know the lagoon's in bad shape. We didn't expect it, not to look bad. But we wanted to figure out what those vital signs of health were. If we're measuring the right things in the lagoon, are our agencies measuring the right things in the lagoon? Gather all those data over 20 years, compare over time, how has health changed over those 20 years? When has it gotten bad? Where has it gotten bad? So looking at it over time and space. And then hopefully as we move forward and do this every year, with all of our efforts and our community's commitment to protecting our estuary, we're going to see that health improve.
Now, for most report cards, reading, writing, and arithmetic, what criteria did you have, or what areas did you measure?
Right. So like I mentioned, with a healthy human, you're looking at certain vital signs. And what we were looking at were the things that had regulatory targets in place. And those included 4 water quality measurements. 2 of them are nutrients, which people may not be aware of, but there are 2 nutrients, nitrogen and phosphorus, that are really bad for the lagoon. It's almost like eating too much.
We find those in fertilizer often.
Yeah, we find them in fertilizer. We find them in pet waste. We find them just in when you wash your car, you're giving off phosphorus. It's everywhere. So we're looking at nitrogen, phosphorus, chlorophyll A, which is just a measurement of how much algae is in the water. And, the algae blooms have been horrific in certain areas of the lagoon. And then turbidity, which is just a measure of the water clarity. So those 4 things, 2 nutrients, algae, and how dirty the water is, are the 4 measurements of health that the regulatory agencies are currently using for the lagoon. The 5th one is seagrass, and everybody knows how important seagrass is, because seagrass is where all the fish are, and that's what all the manatees eat, and that's what the dolphins, eat the fish that are in the seagrass. So it's really a staple part of the system. So the 5 criteria are 4 water quality criteria and seagrass.
And how did you measure that for that whole 156-mile stretch?
Yeah, well, fortunately, we didn't have to measure it. These are agencies, state agencies, the water management districts, and DEP, our Department of Environmental Protection. Every month, they go out, and they have a professional go out and grab a sample, ambient water quality sample, and they send it off to a laboratory to have the most rigorous EPA-standardized protocols analyze that water. So we've got the best data available that we're using in the report. So we want to make sure that, we are looking at valid data. So those monthly samples, one of the things we noticed as we went through 20 years of data, that as our lagoon, we were seeing it getting progressively sicker. We were noticing, kind of shocking, that the sampling locations were being reduced. We had fewer data than we started with. 20 years ago in 1996, we had more monitoring stations than we do today. Actually, 25% fewer monitoring stations are collecting water quality in the lagoon now than there were 20 years ago. And that's due to state funding cuts across the board. So, over 1,000 people statewide have been laid off from our water management districts. The funding for monitoring has been cut dramatically. Our districts have done a tremendous job trying to keep those monitoring stations in place because they really are measuring the vital signs of health of our system. As they're being decommissioned, we're missing valuable information. So, one of the findings of this report has been, that we need more monitoring. We need our water management districts to have their funding back, and we need to be monitoring the lagoon.
And where does the information go from here? Who do you present it to say, look at this, now help us?
Well, we're about to produce. So it's been a 2.5-year effort, mostly funded by the community. The community saw the value and why we need this and how important it is. We're about to produce it in the next 30 days. There'll be a website. All of the data are going to be on a website also, where you can go in and look at the data over 20 years, over time and space. And then the report itself with all of the analyses is going to be on our website, savetheirl.org. And it's just, you know, I'm really excited because it's just about to come out. So it's been 2.5 years of gathering almost 3 million data, doing all of these analyses, you know, looking at the system over time and space and, you know, where is it good? Where is it bad? Why is it good in some places and not in others? To better understand, you know, our beloved estuary, the estuary that we all live around and we're trying to save. So now we have the information all in one place so we can share it. It'll be on, like I said, a website. We're going to produce a print 120,000 copies. So it'll go out to people, as many people as we can possibly get into their hands. And it's been a real labor of love. And it's critical to, like I said, to understanding the baseline of where we are. So as we proceed, we can have a message of hope for our community that things are getting better. We know it's going to take a long time to bring the lagoon back to health. And it's going to be incremental changes. We can't expect it. You know, we do something and we expect an immediate result. It's going to take decades. So, you know, that's where this report's going to come in. You know, you go back to the doctor every year, you're a little better. Or, you know, you're hopefully, right? You're getting a little better, a little better. You're doing your best. You changed your diet. You are exercising more. Wow, look at that. Your cholesterol's come down. So that's what we're hoping for. We know we're in it for the long run. So it's those incremental changes that we'll be reporting back every year. We're getting a little better.
Now, how do you hope the data will be used?
Well, I hope so. I also teach at Florida Tech, and I have brilliant students in my classes. And just seeing all these data in one place, and like I said, you start to see patterns and relationships, it opens up all kinds of questions. So, you know, everybody's going to see the data for the first time ever, 20 years of data over 10 regions of the lagoon, all in one place. Why is this area look better than this area? Why is this area always bad? Why was 2008 such a good year? I mean, it just, the questions come out. You look at the data and the questions emerge. So I really hope that the young people in college today are going to pick up this report and they're going to start to come up with these tough questions, focus their theses, focus their dissertations. You know, they got the hard work. The next generation has got the hard work, right? So, you know, hopefully this is going to guide those brilliant minds in the future to do the hard work and answer those tough questions.
And is there, what about, let's say, Indian River, Martin, and St. Lucie County? So how is the health of the lagoon in the Treasure Coast area?
Well, it's interesting that the certain, you know, when you look at spatially, the north end of the lagoon, water quality looks worse because the north end has very little opening to the ocean, very little inlets, so the water doesn't circulate much. So all of the pollution that goes into the north end, to the Mosquito Lagoon, the North Indian River Lagoon up by Titusville, the Banana River Lagoon by Cocoa Beach, it goes in and it stays in. The pollution has been there, kind of festering. That's where our big fish kills have been, and the big major algae blooms have happened. The manatee deaths, you know, we lost a quarter of the manatee population in the lagoon in 2013. Has been mostly up in the north end. What's interesting, though, the water quality at the south end of the lagoon looks much better. However, the seagrass in the south end of the lagoon is gone. As I mentioned earlier, seagrass is a key component of the system's function. So without seagrass, the system is not functioning right. It could turn into the Sahara Desert. Seagrass holds the bottom in place. It's the place where the baby fish are all hiding to, you know, keep themselves from being eaten by their parents. It's where the crabs multiply. You know, seagrass is a vital component of the system. Without it, the system is not functioning. So no matter how good the water quality may look in the south end of the lagoon because of the inlets, the system is very, very sick because the seagrass is gone. And it brings to mind, kind of brings to question, are we measuring the right five things? These five things, we did not pick them. The state agencies picked these five things as the vital signs of health. Are they the right things to measure to really understand if the system is healthy or not? Which is, you know, it's another question that needs to be answered. We need to look at things like salinity. We need to be looking at things like harmful algal blooms. We need to be looking at bacteria. I mean, there are certain things that we are not measuring that need to be measured to really be indicative of not only the system's health, but of our health as humans. Human health is impacted by bacteria, harmful algal blooms, and so on. And our economic health. So without seagrass, our economy, our lagoon-based economy is going to go downhill also.
in the areas where things seem to be better, or is there any indication that there's somebody doing something right, ordinances or things that are, or is it just, as you mentioned, the fact that the inflow and the outflow from the inlets?
Well, I think that needs to be explored. So we really, the results just came out. So we're just starting to see.
We don't know why.
We don't know why yet.
Okay.
And science has a hard time with why. You know, I'm a scientist. I have a PhD. And we can do statistics all day long. In fact, that's what I do to relax. All you come out with are significant differences and relationships, significant trends, significant relationships. You can't really do causation. You just see that there's a relationship. Which direction is driving the relationship is really hard to establish. So science has a hard time with why and how. That's another thing, you know, we hope to embrace. Those are the types of questions that we need to start exploring and, you know, understanding what are some regions doing right? Why is it so much better there? I mean, there are some ecological functions like flushing is important. You know, one of the reasons that the water quality is so good in the South Lagoon is because you have three inlets that are very close to each other, and you've got the big engine of the Gulf Stream that's only 5 miles offshore that's, you know, pumping a lot of energy into those inlets. You get a lot of flow through in your tides. So that's good for pollution that you're dumping into the lagoon. It gets flushed out to the ocean. You know, dilution supposedly is a solution. Unfortunately, you're polluting your nearshore reefs, which is a problem, but at least the lagoon looks better, right? And then there's the fact that, you know, most of the monitoring stations, or 25% of the monitoring stations in the South Lagoon are no longer monitoring water quality. There are areas of the South Lagoon that they're not monitoring water quality at all. Starting in 2012, those data just disappeared. There are whole areas down here in the south, the south, southernmost portion down by Loxahatchee, where they're not monitoring water quality. So it's like see no evil, right? If you're not measuring it, you don't have a problem. So, you know, there's those problems. But understanding, you know, what are people doing right? You know, Brevard County took a big lead and passed a half-cent sales tax that's generating $34 million a year for the lagoon, you know, providing the services for their residents up there that we all, you know, that they are going to enjoy of a healthy system. Hopefully, we're going to see that reflected in the health of the lagoon over the next 10 years. They've got 10 years of funding coming in. And we anticipate that we're going to see over the next 10 years an improvement in the health of the lagoon up there.
Okay. And if people are interested, you will be giving a presentation just coming up.
Yeah, we'd love to. So I'm going to be presenting. These results are hot off the press. And I'm getting out and doing presentations to groups. And we have wonderful partners with our friends of the Sebastian River organization, and I'll be there at the Indian River North County Library on May 22nd at 6 p.m. It's right off of Sebastian Boulevard in Sebastian. We'd love to have you come out, and I'll be presenting the results so you can come and see what the maps look like and what the numbers look like and the colors and, you know, where it's healthy and where it's not, and I'll talk to you, answer your questions, and talk to you about how we did this.
Okay. Just for the basics, did we hit it, or is there something else you want us to know about?
I should do Marine Resources Council is a charitable organization that's been striving to save the Indian River Lagoon for over 25 years. We were started by a group of FIT professors to engage citizens in scientific pursuits, and we still do that today. We cover the entire lagoon. If you're interested in getting involved with MRC, you know, give us a call. Go to our website, savetheirl.org. It's easy to remember, Save the Indian River Lagoon, savetheirl.org. And just click on, I want to volunteer. We can get you in the water. We can teach you how to be a scientist, get you out collecting data or meeting with groups, whatever you like to do. We've got a job for you. And get involved. Get involved in your local nonprofits. You know, stand up for your lagoon. Get to know your city and county commissioners and, you know, Stand up for your lagoon. It's our estuary. We got to do it together.
Okay, and that website that you gave, I'll provide a link on our website. But is that where they can go to see the results here? Then,
yes.
Okay.
So eventually the results will be up. They're not there yet.
Okay, and you anticipate that about when?
I'm hoping 30 days.